You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Vets. This is Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. I am Dr. Jeff Werber. We'll be your host for this next half hour. It goes way too fast. They usually do. But I want to welcome everyone to our new show here on Pet Life Radio. And I'm very excited about this, and it's great. I think we're going to be the first call-in show on Pet Life Radio, which is very interesting. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to get all the bugs out. We ultimately want to make this a show where you can not only call in, but you can catch us via video live. And once we get all this worked out, we will let you know, because it's going to be a lot of fun. A little bit about myself. I am Dr. Jeff Werber. I am a practicing veterinarian in Los Angeles. I am a UC Davis graduate back in 1984, a long time ago. I don't feel that old. I hopefully don't look that old. But the truth is, I've been doing this. This is my 29th year. And sort of got into the media very accidentally a long time ago. And my goal really is that, of course, I love pets. I'm one of those guys that I grew up wanting to be a veterinarian. I think ever since the age of five, that's all I ever talked about. But more importantly is I just appreciate the relationship that we have with our pets. And, you know, looking at the lineup of the hosts on this network, we all share that same vision. I know we do. And whatever we can do to help enhance that bond, as I like to call it, my practice has always been a bond-centered practice. And I think it sort of just helps things go along. And the more you love your pets, the more they love you back. And it just makes for an amazing relationship. You know, I mean, personally, I do practice what I preach, as I have, don't tell the authorities, but I do have 11 pets at home. Yes, I have 5 dogs and 6 cats. We have 2 Labradors, a Labradoodle, and 2 Frenchies, one of which I actually delivered myself through C-section, not knowing at the time that he would end up to be mine, and 6 amazing cats, all rescues, and they don't know they're cats. I really feel they read the dog book by mistake and want to keep it that way. It's amazing. I mean, I would have more, but unfortunately, we could not find a bed bigger than a California King, so we're sort of keeping the limit at 11. But it's great to share that love. So anyway, we're going to have a show packed. We're going to get your emails. In fact, you know, since they started, I guess, letting you all know that we were going to be here, I've already have some emails that I've received, which is great. Also some callers. I know we have one wonderful guest on the line that I've worked with before in the past and has her own show on Pet Life Radio, who is just phenomenal. And I want to say hi to Arden Moore. Arden, are you there?
Hey, big paws up there, Dr. Jeff. Congratulations and welcome to the Pet Life Radio family.
Oh, thank you so much. I saw you on this. I said, this has to be the right radio show to be on, because if Arden's here, then I know it's the right thing to be. So have you been?
I've been great. I'm just trying to hope you can send me a picture of all the pets on California King.
It is so much fun. I do have a picture somewhere where you really can't see me because I'm surrounded by all this fur. But, you know, I'm lucky to have living, breathing pillows. And because my Labradoodle, he thinks he belongs up at the head of the bed. And often if I don't let him there, then I don't get to sleep in it. So I think he wins out.
Well, you know, I can attest, listeners, he is the real deal. Dr. Jeff is. He gets right down there and gets smoochies with the dogs and cats at his practice, but he's also very astute when it comes to veterinary medicine. I know you got some callers. I'll just listen in, and you've got some people waiting to talk to you, but I just wanted to welcome you and salute you for all you've been doing.
Thank you so much, and great to be on board, and hopefully we will have a chance to talk quite a bit. I've been on your show before, and will be on mine.
All right. There's a deal.
Oh, absolutely.
We can talk pet first aid, because I am now a master instructor, and I have the only cat and dog teaching team. How's that, Dr. Jeff?
That is great. That's fantastic. And I also want to thank our sponsors. Well, right now, our main sponsor is ProSense Pet Products. They were just basically a product line made for the masses to help bring veterinary quality to the mass market, available at your local Walmart and many other mass retailers.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Pet Life Radio has doggone fur flying fantastic deals. to PetcoDeals.com and get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off hundreds of items at Petco.
PetcoDeals.com.
But that's not all.
Are you talking to me?
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to AudibleDeals.com.
That's AudibleDeals.com.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. Go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com
to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on awesome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Anyway, before we get going, I know we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you still there?
I am.
Oh, hi, and who's this?
This is Phyllis.
Hello, Phyllis. And
hi.
Welcome, Phyllis. Just so you know, you are my first caller on Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff here on Let's Talk Pets at Pet Life Radio. So, you know, just put that in the back of your mind to know that you are number one. So what's going
on?
Okay,
cool. Well, I've been walking my dog. I have a large dog. He's about 120 pounds, Ridgeback Rottweiler mix.
Okay.
And since my second dog died in the beginning of October, I've been walking him about an hour a day. And everything was going fine. About maybe a month or so ago, I noticed that he was limping. It wasn't very obvious. People had a hard time confirming.
On a front leg or back
leg?
Front leg. Very
important. Front leg, and I was suspecting that it was the left leg, but it wasn't such an obvious limp. Some people thought I was crazy. But finally, we confirmed it was a limp, and my veterinarian gave me a supplement with for the joints, with glucosamine and some other supplements in it. And it took about 2 weeks for me to really see that it was helping, or at least it looks like it's helping. He doesn't seem to be limping so much anymore. But my concern is, because we walk about 3 miles, is it really helping him, or is it just masking symptoms? Is he in pain and he's walking anyway, or this supplement is actually improving whatever it was that was weak?
Well, first of all, you know, to recap, you mentioned that your dog, first of all, what's your dog's name?
His name is Parman.
Parman. Now, you said that Parman is 120 pounds. Now, that is one large dog. Is Parman 120 pounds and deserved to be 120 pounds, or is Parman 120 pounder in a 100-pound dog body?
I think this is the latter of the two.
Okay, so he's a little bit overweight.
I think he should weigh less.
Okay.
Yes, I think he is.
So if that's the case, you know, one of the things while we're talking about this, because as dogs get older and they reach adulthood, that one of the biggest enemies that they have is being overweight. And it puts a tremendous strain on joints. Now, when we have forelimb lameness, that's lameness up at the front, we think of a number of things. I mean, the two most common joints that are going to develop arthritis are going to be the shoulders and the elbow. And a lot of these dogs actually have had a form of dysplasia, an elbow dysplasia called fragmented coronoid process, since they were young. And when the disease is either subtle at the beginning or both sides, meaning bilateral, you really can't tell when they're younger that they're favoring either one because they both have it. So it's not until they get older that we start seeing evidence of what we call DJD or degenerative joint disease, which is arthritis of the elbow. So in answer to your question, does glucosamine mask signs or actually help? My belief has always been that it helps. Now, often it helps on the microscopic level because I know that there was a study done in human medicine macroscopically to see if patients on glucosamine supplements were actually benefited radiographically by the supplement, and the answer was they could tell no radiographic difference. However, when interviewed, the patients actually felt better. I was recently at a conference in Orlando in January, the North American Veterinary Conference, and heard an orthopedic surgeon from Colorado State University who specializes in sports medicine for dogs, and they have done studies now, and they can show metabolic pathways to where the glucosamine supplements, the chondroitin glucosamine supplements, actually do help. They help rebuild the joint surface. They help rehydrate with joint fluid. They decrease pain through pain pathways. So there is now scientific evidence that these supplements do help. So I do think they're doing more than just masking the pain. I think they're actually helping the joint. What I would do for Parmin is 100% continue the supplementation. If it gets really bad, there are some non-steroidal anti-inflammatories available from your veterinarian that you might want to consider. But more importantly, you must get Parmin down to where you think he should be, say at 100 pounds, because just that alone will make him better. And as much exercise as possible, because what we find with these dogs as they get older, that a well-toned, well-muscled dog will do better. So you want to concentrate on that as well. So I hope that helps. And I wanted to get back to us in a, I don't know, a month or so and give us an update.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you. Bye, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Say hi to Parmin. Give Parmin a kiss. So, you know, while we're, you know, we got some emails already, as I mentioned. And here is an email. It's addressed to Dear Dr. Jeff. I have a toy poodle who recently started throwing up every morning after breakfast. I have not changed her food. She eats some lean meat that I prepare for her and occasionally a piece of chicken. She really seems to enjoy eating them, but about 10 minutes later, it comes up. She does not do it at night. So I'm wondering if breakfast is too heavy for her. Well, that's really interesting. This is coming from Sherry Kearns. Well, Sherry, it is unusual because dogs that have some esophageal problems, dogs that might eat too fast, dogs that might have some gastric reflux problems at night will have a surge of this gastric juice sometime, usually early in the morning. And then when they eat something, their breakfast, their early meal, everything might come up. So I would recommend a few things to try before panicking. By the fact that she's still acting fine, by the fact that she's eating her dinner and everything is perfect at night, I really don't think it's a major issue. So let's try to my favorite rule. One of my favorite rules in practice is I call the KISS rule, which is just keep it simple, stupid. So let's keep it simple. What I want you to do is two things. Number one, I'd like you to save a little bit of dinner. Set maybe a third or quarter of dinner aside and feed it to your dog, to your poodle, around 10 or 11 o'clock at night before you go to bed. I want to have something in that stomach at night. Then in the morning, I want you to divide the food up. Don't let her gobble up the meal all at once, but maybe give it to her as in three smaller meals separated by, 10 or 15 minutes. Just that alone, let's see if that works. The next step will be to do a medication at night, something as simple as Pepcid, an over-the-counter preparation. And lastly, you'll need to see your veterinarian and have to check the esophagus. Usually when dogs vomit really quickly after eating, it's actually regurgitation. It's not preceded by that heaving, but it actually all of a sudden they've eaten, and a few minutes later they open up their mouth and boom, out it all comes. Whereas dogs that vomit actually will go through a heaving process first. And that, you know what the heave looks like. And it's pretty hard to do it on a radio, but you know what it looks like. Anyway, if there's heaving involved, that's more vomiting. And if there's no heaving, that's more esophageal. And those things need to be differentiated and evaluated. So I hope that helps.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available on iTunes.
coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And here we are. I'm Dr. Jeff at Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff on Let's Talk Pets, Pet Life Radio. And as I said, I'm not expecting that many calls today because we're just getting started. But please, if you want to get a hold of us, you can reach us at 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. You can also send us an email. In fact, you can send us an email live at drjeff@petliferadio.com. Once again, drjeff@petliferadio.com. And I am the world's slowest on the keyboard, but I can get your questions. I'll either answer them via keyboard or answer them here live on the radio. Another thing that if you ask, my specialty, my love has always been, ever since I was a puppy, dogs and cats, but I know a little bit about other animals as well. If you have a question for me, I have a bevy of pet experts in almost every field you can imagine at my fingertips. So if you have a question about an exotic, about a bird, a snake, you name it, bring it on, and I will promise you that we will get an answer for you, and we'll share your question with our live audience and the answer next week. So everything, it all goes.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Dr. Jeff.
Oh, hi, Dr. Jeff. I didn't even recognize your voice.
We're here live on our radio show, and I don't know, maybe you've
got
the good fortune of hearing me on KBC Talk Radio when I was on in Los Angeles, but now we're going national with Pet Life Radio.
Okay, so let me tell you. I have a dog named Tui.
Okay.
And whenever she sees another dog, she completely freaks out. She's not violent. I don't really think she's going to bite them. But she makes such noises, and we even got one of those spike collars, and she pulls on it, and she has a cut neck from pulling so hard.
Let me ask you a question.
You know how we could train it?
Yeah, absolutely. What breed is she?
She's like a pit, but I don't know.
Well, let's talk pit bulls for a second. Let's talk strong dogs for a second. And basically, pits have that natural tendency. They were used, as we all know, unfortunately, for fighting. And though they are amazing dogs with people, and I work with a number of pit rescues, they have a natural tendency to not necessarily
lives with cats.
Yeah, once they're in a situation, once they're in a home, they, like almost any social creature, they adapt, they get used to it. In fact, they actually love other animals, but they may have some issues with strange dogs. Here's what I like trying to do. I like trying to set up a game, and the game is let's find a friend. So there is something that when we have a behavior anomaly or a problem with dogs, especially socially, that there is something called a threshold. A threshold is whatever the stimulus is, in this case, other dogs, there is a distance beyond which Tui should be okay. It might be three blocks away. In other words, if the dog is three blocks away, she's fine. And let's say her threshold is two blocks. So if any time that she gets closer than two blocks away is when she starts that behavior that she wants to run to that dog. We don't even know why. Does she want to fight? Does she want to play? Who knows? But she is obviously misbehaving. So what we like to do is create a situation.
It's embarrassing.
Of course. We want to get her to actually look forward to other dogs. So what we do is I like to play a game, teach them a game called Let's Find a Friend. And what we're going to do is we're going to train her, whether it's through love and affection, occasional food treat. I teach sometimes if dogs are very food motivated, I like to use that to our advantage. But we are going to teach her that other dogs mean good stuff, whether it means a good pat on the head. Tui, you're such a good dog. You're such a good dog. Or Tui, oh my God, here's your little piece of turkey breast. And you start farther away than the threshold. So when you see a dog in the distance, you're going to ask Tui to sit. give lots of praise, plus or minus the food treat, depending on how food motivated she is, and then you're going to change direction. Don't play it anymore. Don't test it right away. Each day or each walk, you are going to go crazy when you see the friend. You go, oh my God, Chewy, look, there's a friend. Oh my God, that's fantastic. Hugs, hugs, kiss, kiss, and here's a treat. Then you're going to do that a little closer, a little closer, a little closer each day to where when on the walk, instead of looking at another dog and saying, oh my God, I want to attack that dog, she'll be looking for another dog knowing
my
that
wife,
she's going to get
my wife
this-
wanted to just sit on the corner and as dogs pass.
Right.
Just lots of pass. Just give her a treat and keep trying.
That would work,
quiet.
Too. The whole idea is we need to desensitize her to the presence of other dogs, and we need to counter condition, meaning we have to get her to want to see other dogs, to want to play with other dogs, instead of to run away or try to attack or whatever, which seems to be what she's doing right now. So
well,
it's something
no other owners would bring their dog near her.
Yeah, because they're afraid.
Behave now.
They're afraid.
Besides,
so anyway,
she looks like a pit, and she really makes ferocious noises.
Right. So that could be one of the issues. So anyway, what I want you to do is try that, and get back to us. Give us a call back. It's going to take a while. Just for all of you listeners out there, anytime you're going to try some behavior modification, you got to go baby steps. You're not going to change these dogs that have an ingrained behavior that's been there for who knows how long, and get them to be perfect in a day. It's going to take a lot of work, but you know what? It's going to pay off.
Thank you so much, Dr.
You're very
Jeff.
Welcome. You're very welcome. Arden,
okay,
are you still listening?
Yes.
Arden,
I am listening.
What do you think? You want to add something to this?
Well, I like the thing about find your friend. The other thing is for dogs that are highly reactive, we have to pay a lot more attention on the walks to our surroundings. We can't be looking at our cell phone or anything. You kind of set them up for success. So if you see in a distance, what I do is I sort of get them off the curb and I practice their sit and stay. And when people come walking by, I'm going, oh, I'm really trying to up this dog's game on being a good dog and sitting and staying. So can you just keep walking by and reward Chewy for ignoring?
Right.
But you've already got control of the situation because you're actually blocking the view of the dog by your posture and the other dog is going by. So, it does take, like you say, it isn't a wand that you wave and it's magically corrected. But little baby steps, it's amazing when the dogs get it, boom, it's nice. And so I walk with two dogs and one of mine has got that little monkey voice.
Right.
And I have learned instead of yelling at the dog, which is another key thing, because that just heightens what they're doing, I do the hand stop sign. I am a mime, and it disrupts them enough, and they get rewarded for having the mute button found. So sometimes not saying a word but using some specific hand signals also helps the dog kick in gear. Oh, this is when I'm supposed to zip the lip.
Now, you mentioned something also that I find interesting. First of all, I totally agree. When I have one of my dogs, my Labradoodle, sweetest thing in the world with me, my living, breathing pillow, but he is a terror outside sometimes. And I don't personally like those pinch collars, the spike collars, but I got one of the gentle leaders for him.
Uh-huh.
And it works so well. And also the other thing is, and I agree with you, and I should have mentioned this, and it's a great point. When I see that other dog coming, I ask him immediately to sit, and then I stand in front of him. And I do a little just basic training with him. And again, it takes his mind off of that other approaching dog. And we focus. And I keep, his name is Pierce. And I go, Pierce, Pierce, focus. And I try to make that eye contact with Pierce. So he's paying attention to me and not what else is going on.
And there are nice harnesses out there and a lot more kind types of restraints, especially for big dogs, because you put them on a spike collar and they are causing injury. And then that ramps up their need to protect themselves more. And it's like a game of taffy. You're pulling on both ends. And so I would urge him to really look into sort of the new generation of harnesses for the big boys that really seem to give you more control, but they don't hurt the neck. And you're the vet. I mean, we don't want Chewy coming to you with a crushed trachea.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I kind of really do like the Halti or the Gentle Leader, any of those kinds of muzzle collars. And I tell you, people think they're cruel. They're not cruel because they only tighten when the dog pulls. When the dog's not pulling, there is no tightening and they do really, really well.
Oh yeah. You're doing great, Dr. Jeff.
Oh, thank you so much, Arden. So, once again, I can't believe, I do mention how fast this time goes. When I was doing my other show, it was an hour show, and we were looking to try to get it to 2 hours because, you know, it just so happened so fast. And as we get more and more of you callers, and again, 877-385-8882, or email us at drjeff@petliferadio.com. It's going to go even faster. Once again, I do want to thank our sponsor, ProSense Pet Products, that really are there for you. And one more, we have time, I hope, for one more email of the day. And here's one. Dear Dr. Jeff, when my Shih Tzu was a puppy, she had no problem eating from her doggy bowl. Then I added some wet food to her dry, and she wouldn't eat. So I started feeding her by hand so she wouldn't starve. Now she only wants to eat if fed by hand. How can I break the habit? Well, it's from Wendy and Bob in Tustin, California. Wendy, I got to tell you, you created a monster. I mean, think about it. That's like, you know, me having that attention, or a child having to do something on their own, or wanting to do it with you directly involved. We're trying to sort of encourage their independence. And at the same time, we, you know, sometimes it does backfire. You did a good thing to try to get them to eat. So what I would start doing is slowly phase out your hand. You know, what I would do is fill, and I had to do this with one of my dogs once, not because of being spoiled, because she was not feeling really well, and I had to get her back to eating. So I noticed that she would eat the food from my hand. So I would fill her bowl with her food, whatever combination you want, and then I would pick my hand up and kind of bring it to her. And then with each bite, I would actually drop my hand a little lower, a little lower, a little lower, again, baby steps, into the bowl, and then I start removing my hand from the bowl and ultimately encouraging her to eat directly out of the bowl once again. But you could still, you know, be there and pet her and tell her how good she is. But now this is something that you should be able to solve fairly quickly. It shouldn't take too long. So I hope that helps. And let's see. Again, unless we have any more calls, and I don't see any coming in, but hopefully by next week we are going to fix that. We're going to get a lot of calls. And also sometimes I just like to share, you know, some of my experiences here. As Arden mentioned, I still practice. I am really a full-time practice. I'm a practitioner. I'm here 5 days a week. Now I'm going to be 5 days less a half hour, as I will see you. And I think right now we're set for these Thursdays. That might change. Again, we will let you know. But I think Thursdays at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern time, and obviously anything else in between, depending on where you live. But, you know, also share a lot of, you know, great stories. We do a lot of rescue work out of this place. And, you know, it's so rewarding to help these rescue groups with these animals. And again, you know, rescue work is very, very difficult. And, you know, here in Los Angeles, you can imagine these shelters are unfortunately not no-kill shelters. Some of them are doing their best, but a lot of these animals don't have a chance. And there's certain breeds that don't have a chance. And the caller earlier, you know, talking about Tui the pit bull, there are so many chows and pit bulls that when they come in, it's almost they're immediately on death row. If they do not have a microchip, they're a goner. So it's very important to make sure that when you have these animals, that you have your own animals, please have the microchip. At least dogs with microchips have a chance. The story is this. There was a chow chow that came in, and it was very aggressive. It was very aggressive, I think. A, chow chows have her tendencies, no doubt. I'm not going to argue that one. But this dog was so afraid. It was definitely a fear-biting kind of behavior. And they were literally on death row. One of the chow rescue groups came in, saw the dog, and said, did you guys check for a microchip? And they did not. Certainly, they were supposed to. They checked for the microchip, and guess what? The dog had a microchip. Now, we followed up with the microchip. And unfortunately, the owner, whoever had the dog initially, was long gone. There was no current owner. The dog was passed from one person to another and ultimately found on the street and brought in. But because they were able to get that dog out of the shelter because of the microchip, and we were able to attend to the wounds that it had being on the street, that microchip saved that dog's life. If it didn't have that microchip, they would have put that dog to sleep before the rescue group came in to save that dog. So message for those of you who don't have microchips for your dogs, please, please take care of it ASAP. So I think that we're coming out of time here. Once again, I am thrilled to be here on Pet Life Radio. Let's Talk Pets. And this show is Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. I'm going to have guest hosts with me. I have a number of friends that are very media savvy or will be joining us, different shows, just to give you different perspectives. My good friend Ernie Ward and I battle often about how to handle certain problems, and it's always good to get different perspectives. And we welcome your calls to at 877-385-8882. We welcome your emails to drjeff@petliferadio.com. And certainly send us questions. If you're embarrassed to be on the air or if you're shy, go ahead, send us an email. We will read your questions live online and get your answers ASAP. So that does it for our first breakout show. I want to thank Arden Moore for joining me here today and listening in. And Arden, if you're more than welcome anytime. And if you want to throw your two cents in, we would love to hear it. You are a very, very respected expert and guest, and anytime.
And you're the
for
best.
Those of you,
welcome
thank you.
To the Pet Life Radio. And Mark will take good care of you. Mark is our producer. Let's do a shout out to Mark.
All right, Mark, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for letting me talk my head off, and we'll get some callers. And I know we're going to work on getting some more callers as we promote the show. And I'll be here next week, ready and willing. All right. Thanks for joining us. Be well.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.